In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday, Dr. Bartelt wished all of us a Happy New Year. A new year suggests a new beginning, with the future stretched out before us. But that raises a number of questions for us, namely, what will the future hold? For students, will it bring success? What will the classes be like? What kind of grades might I earn or expect? For Pastor Peter, who begins his time with us as a professor in practical theology and director of the Doctor of Ministry program, what can you expect? How will the students react? What kind of challenges lay ahead? What will it be like to be involved in the placing of men into congregations within the office of the ministry? What will my colleagues be like? Most often, though, when we talk about the future, we don't know exactly what it will bring. And not knowing the future can bring either a sense of anticipation in light of the hopes that we have, or perhaps it can bring on a good case of anxiety. In large part, this is because not only is the future unknowable, but it is uncontrollable, beyond what we can determine. In a sense, our text, however, is not speaking so much about us not knowing what will happen. It's very clear about that. The Son of Man will return. But the question is not what will happen. The question here is when will it happen? Remarkably, not even the angels, not even the Son of Man, not the disciples, and not even us knows when. All we're told is that it will happen suddenly and unexpectedly. In order to drive home that point, Jesus uses a couple examples, the first from the days of Noah. There, the point of comparison is not so much the wicked generation of Noah's time compared with the generation of Jesus' time or our time. Rather, the point of comparison is the unexpected arrival of the flood, how it comes unheralded by any advanced warning system, how it is unannounced by any signs. So also the coming of the Son of Man. In the other example that Jesus gives, namely that of the head of the household who goes to sleep, and while he is sleeping, a thief breaks in and ransacks the house. It's perhaps a rather disturbing image to think of Jesus here as a thief. For those who don't watch, his coming will be destructive rather than welcomed. In any event, both analogies, both accounts, drive home the point that Jesus' coming will be unexpected, it will happen suddenly, and both lay the foundation for his exhortation to watch and be ready. At that point, I sort of wonder, though, to watch. We normally are exhorted to do that for a couple weeks at the end of the church year and here at the beginning of the church year. But why only at this time of the year? Most often we think of the end times and associate with the end of the church year. I suppose it's somewhat appropriate. Chronologically, we've covered everything else. We arrive at the end, so we deal with the end. In another sense, though, I suppose it's because we have become accustomed to interpreting the future in light of the past and the present. And as good Lutherans, we know that we have been justified here and now. Here and now, we have passed out of judgment. And we have that confidence based upon the past events of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so in that sense, the future is secure, and perhaps we don't worry about it all that much because we know it's in good hands. You know, on the other hand, though, the whole notion of watching is not simply a postscript for the end of the church year. It's interesting, it appears here at the beginning of the church year as well. And I wonder perhaps if it provides you and I with an opportunity not only to read the future, in light of the past, but perhaps to read the past and the present in light of the future, in light of Jesus coming. And what would the coming church year look like if we used the exhortation of Jesus to watch and be ready as a light to illumine all the past that we will be rehearsing over the next few months? Namely, as we approach the Christmas season, what would it be like to consider Jesus' birth in light of his coming as the Son of Man at the end of times? In other words, as we celebrate his birth, his incarnation, that we remember this is the one who is coming at the end of time. And as we go through his ministry, as we go through his suffering and death, that we, again, bear in mind the watchword of be ready, that this is why we are to be ready. Here's what we can expect. Here is the one who is coming. Here is what he is bringing. And so the exhortation to watch and be ready can perhaps illumine the entire church here and not just be a locus at the end of the church here. In that sense, it's perhaps appropriate for it to be brought up here in Advent. And not only can it illumine the entire life of Christ, to view his life eschatologically, in other words, but also our own lives. To be watched and to be ready can put our own present lives into a certain perspective by focusing on what is eternal rather than what is temporal, what is important rather than what is perhaps unimportant. It can put our lives into a perspective in such a way that we're free to look after the needs of our neighbor, which is what Jesus really means when he says to be ready to care for one another and to be doing that when he returns. So to watch and to be ready is not just a once-a-year repetitive thing that we do it for a couple weeks or a month. I think in many ways it serves to shape our entire life and our entire attitude, our entire reading of Christ's life. Anytime, suddenly, without warning, watch and be ready. The Son of Man, our Lord, is coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.